إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه. All praise is due to Allah. We seek His aid and we ask His forgiveness. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. And we seek refuge with Allah from our evil souls and our bad deeds. من يهديه الله فلا مضل له. Whosoever Allah guides, none can lead astray. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. And whosoever he allows to go astray, then none can guide. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. And I bear witness that none is worthy of worship but Allah alone with no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention, grant him peace, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Our brothers in Islam, barakallahu feekum, we continue with our discussion, sharh al-thalath al-usul, explaining the three fundamental principles. And we were dealing in our last session with da'wah. Right? And da'wah means conveying the message of Islam to everyone, Muslims and non-Muslims. Because some people think da'wah is for the non-Muslims. But this now is da'wah. And you are Muslim brothers. And when you remind someone of the rights of Allah and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you're giving them da'wah. So it is not only inviting non-Muslims to Islam, that's one aspect of it. That's a branch. It's any time you convey the teachings of Islam to another individual. This all falls under da'wah. And we mentioned different ways we can use and utilize in order to convey the message of Islam to people, so they will not be bored. Now the Shaykh goes on to say, وَالدَّعْوَةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ هِيَ وَظِيفَةُ الرُّسُلِ عَلَيْهِمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَطَرِيقَةُ مَنْ تَبِعَهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. Inviting to Allah عز وجل is the occupation of the messengers. May Allah send His peace and His blessings upon them. The occupation, their job, their duty that they had to perform upon this earth was to convey the message of Allah Azza wa Jal to the people. So anytime you're involved in da'wah, you're actually sharing the job description or the duty of the finest of people. Is there anyone better than the messengers? Any human being better than the messengers? No. The best of all of them, of all of the creation in terms of human beings, are the messengers. And who are the top five? Who knows? Ulul Azm, those of strong determination. Nuh, Musa, Ibrahim, Isa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should do it the other way around. We should say Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, just to be in the chronological order. So then the five mightiest messengers of Allah are those five. And they were mentioned twice in the Quran altogether. And the scholars call them Ulul Azm, those of strong determination, those who exerted extra effort in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these are the best of people. And it is the way of those who follow them in goodness. Da'wah is also the way of those who follow the messengers in righteousness and goodness. فَإِذَا عَرِفَ الْإِنسَانُ مَعْبُودَهُ وَنَبِيَّهُ وَدِينَهُ وَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِالتَّوْفِيقِ لِذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ عَلَيْهِ السَّعِي فِي إِنْقَاذِ إِخْوَانِهِ بِدَعْوَتِهِمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَلْيُبْشِرْ بِالْخَيْرِ أو وَلْيُبَشَّرْ بِالْخَيْرِ. The Shaykh rahimahullah said, when an individual knows his object of worship, knows who he's worshipping, which is Allah Azza wa Jal, then he knows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knows Deena, his religion. We said this is what you're supposed to learn, right? You should have knowledge of Allah, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Islam with textual evidences, with the dalil. So whenever you know these three, and Allah has bestowed success upon you, then you are expected to strive in saving your brothers by calling them to Allah azza wa jal. يعني you know, you have knowledge. You don't go sleep. You don't go sleep and leave the people around you ignorant. Rather, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with one of the tribes of the with the Bani Israel, Allah sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to destroy a particular nation for their wrongdoing. And so when Jibreel came to destroy them, he found among them a devout worshipper, someone who was good, unlike the rest of the people, but preoccupied by himself with ibadah. So Jibreel alayhi salam went back and told Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and Allah knows best, that among them is a man who's engaged in worship. He said, begin the destruction with him. Why? Everybody's corrupt around him and he tells nobody nothing. He doesn't tell anybody anything. See, people don't do salah, he doesn't tell them to do salah. He prays on his own. But this is not what it is. This is not how you truly believe. It is not just you, it's those around you. And that is what Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an Munkar is. That you, when you see something missing, good, that is missing, you should enjoin it. And when you see something wrong present, you should prohibit it. You should prevent people from doing it. This is what is intended. So this man, of course, not anyone who is a worshipper will be destroyed. But in the case of this particular man, he had knowledge. He should have shared this with the people around him, but he did not interact with anyone. He kept to himself. And so he is not deserving then of this virtue, because part of your worship to Allah is to help your brothers and sisters in Islam from entering the hellfire. And when you do so, then you should receive glad tidings. Bashir or yubshir or abshir, you hear it often, meaning glad tidings, good news. You should expect good news. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لعلي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه يوم خيبر أنفذ على رسلك حتى تنزل بساحتهم ثم دعهم إلى الإسلام وأخبرهم بما يجب عليهم من حق الله تعالى فيه فوالله لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خيرا لك من حمر النعم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he sent علي بن أبي طالب on the day of خيبر, he said, continue to go until you make it to their area, until you slow down, until you make it to their territory. There you go. Then invite them to Islam. Invite them to, he's teaching him how to give da'wah. Now you need to pay attention to what will happen next. And tell him what Allah has as a right upon them. Inform them of Allah's right upon them. And I ask you, as a Muslim, what's the first right that Allah has upon you? Now brothers, don't be shy, nobody's here. There's no television. Don't worry, you're not going to be on TV. This is only locally here, and all of us live, we're neighbors, or most of us. Huh? What is the biggest right, the number one right that Allah has upon you? Worshipping Him alone. Right or wrong? Alhamdulillah. That's the number one thing. Tawheed. The essence of Islam, the essence of the message, the most fundamental principle and the purpose of life, that you establish Allah's right as far as worshipping Him alone. And that's what La ilaha illallah means. There's no God worthy of worship but Allah. You cannot enter into Islam unless you have a right understanding of this statement and you meet the conditions, and then you say it with your tongue. You utter the actual statement, then you become a Muslim. And what's the first thing you have to say? Not, I will establish Salah. You don't say when you enter Islam, I will establish Salah, so let me just do da'wah to the Salah. The first thing you do is what? La ilaha illallah. You must understand that. And you must understand what negates that, which is shirk. Because if you don't know shirk, you will fall into shirk. So this is the biggest right that Allah Azza wa Jal has. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions. In the hadith of Mu'adh, when he sent Mu'adh to Yemen, similar scenario. He said, go there, you're coming to the people of the book, be careful, they're Jews and Christians. The first thing he told him, you go into the people of the book, Then he told them, let the first thing you call them to is Tawheedullah. Maintaining the unity of Allah in terms of His names and attributes, in terms of Him being worshipped alone. If they accept that, then inform them that Allah has had legislated 5 daily prayers in the day and in the night. If they accept that, then tell them about zakah. So it was a gradual process, and the first thing that was commanded was what? Establishing La ilaha illallah. So anytime you want to give da'wah, that's the most fundamental thing that you must begin with. You may explain to a Christian or a Hindu for 5 hours why a man is allowed to have 4 wives. He may have a misconception. You may be very eloquent, and you go back and forth, you know, this is why, and you give him many reasons. Then you deal with jihad. Then you deal with the dress code of the woman. And you may answer all the misconceptions. Tayyib. And let's say he's convinced. Is that going to make him a Muslim? If he still has a cow as a god, and Shiva and all the others, you don't even want to remember their names, man. What is it going to benefit him? Even if you were able to remove the misconception, tayyib, he's not going to become a Muslim until he's willing to submit to the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So that's the first thing that you should be involved in. Because many people forget that and they get excited and they start dealing with other things before they establish tawheed with the individual that is being invited to Islam. Then the Prophet ﷺ told them, by Allah. For Allah to guide one man through you, it is better for you than the red camels. Now you may say, red camels? Even if you give me a red camel for free today, I don't want it. Because it will take me maybe 3 hours to make it to my job. You know, imagine yourself going on a camel on the traffic light. It's not going to be very cute, right? They may give you a ticket maybe even. But believe it or not, the red camels, even up until today, they were the most valuable animals on earth. I mean, these things are being sold for, you know, hundreds of thousands of riyals. The red camel, because it's a particular kind of camel, it's a breed that is better than the rest. So during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Arabs had nothing more valuable than these camels. You know, sheep, goat, cows, whatever. But when they wanted to talk about money, when you have money, then you have red camels. And so by analogy, we understand that whatever is considered valuable in the sight of people, then for one person to enter into Islam through you, is better for you than that. And we said in the lecture yesterday, if you have attended, then you could think of a Jaguar, you could think of a Rolls Royce, you could think of a Ferrari, you could think of a Porsche, whatever cars, you know. People say, oh mashallah. You know, if you were given a choice, you give da'wah to someone and he embraces Islam, or I'll give you the key to the Ferrari and it will be your car. Allah knows how many of us will choose, you know, the guy. Many of us will say, I'll take the car, then I give him da'wah. With the car, I'll tell him, come ride with me, then I'll give him da'wah around the block. Most likely, Allah, illa man rahim Allah, we will go for the car. We say, you know, I'll buy it, you know, sell it, make money, give sadaqah. The shaitan will whisper all kinds of nonsense. But who will really say, keep your car? I would prefer that this person embrace Islam. And I give him da'wah. So the Prophet ﷺ was trying to teach that is better for you than that. And he didn't say one camel, he said from red camels, plural. So you can also think of a number of cars as well. So it's better for you to give da'wah than many of the wealth that we are gaining in this day and time. And this hadith is agreed upon. Whenever you hear, whenever you read muttafaqun alayh in Arabic, that means in English agreed upon. And what does it mean when it's agreed upon? Does anyone know? Agreed upon. You hear it sometimes after the hadith, you read it. The hadith such and such, then it says at the end, agreed upon. That means it was narrated by both Bukhari and Muslim. Anytime you read agreed upon, meaning the hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim, meaning it's authentic beyond any doubt. Because if it's in Bukhari alone, it's sahih. If it's in Muslim alone, it's sahih. Combine Bukhari and Muslim, khalas. Case closed. So that's why they will use this expression, in order to, rather than say narrated by Bukhari Muslim, they say muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon, meaning Bukhari and Muslim agreed about the authenticity of this particular narration that we have between our hands. ويقول صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه مسلم من دعا إلى هدى كان له من الأجر مثل أجور من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا ومن دعا إلى ضلالة كان عليه من الإثم مثل آثام من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من آثامهم شيئا. In another narration which was reported to us by Imam Muslim رحمه الله تعالى in الصحيح, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever calls people to guidance, he shall have a reward equal to theirs. He will have a reward equal to theirs without their reward being reduced. Yani, you teach someone something, طيب, and they start practicing it. And let's say Allah gives them 700 hasana for this act of worship. When you get a reward with them, it doesn't mean that you split the 700, 350, 350. Rather, he will get 700 hasanat, and so will you, equal to his, and it doesn't affect him. The fact that he received the information from you, and you taken from him, doesn't take from his deeds. You are sharing the amount of rewards. That's a big deal. This is a big deal. If you think about it, if you're a merchant, you know, tujar, you know, the tujar man, you know, they any business, they must have an accountant, right? Somebody must be keeping up with the money, what goes in and what goes out, expenses and, you know, so on and so forth. It's a very serious matter, because if you don't keep the money right, the business will fall apart. And so you'll find businessmen are very particular with these issues. You know, they take the slightest notes and they calculate everything, and if I sell this and I increase one extra halala, if I sell 3,000 items, then I will make 3,000 riyals. And it's very delicate. You deal with halala, half a halala, when you deal with quantity. And so we, a believer, should be more encouraged to have this kind of mentality in the deen of Islam. And when you know that Allah Azza wa Jal will give you such a reward, then you should take every given opportunity to give da'wah. Anytime you're given a chance, with any family member, your children, your wife, your mother, your father, your neighbors, anytime you see something that needs to be addressed, then you say, I want to be the first. Don't wait for someone else to do the job for you. Say, let me be the one. Akhi, barakallah fiqh. Of course, with a good adab, with good character, not as some ignorant people do, you start screaming and so on and so forth, nobody's going to listen to you. Say, brother, barakallah fiqh, I've noticed that you have been doing this in this particular fashion. Now, the Prophet ﷺ had instructed us to do it in this way. So if you like to follow the sunnah, then this is the correct way, and so on and so forth. You know, you try to take the initiative. So you'll be the one calling, because all of the good deeds that they will do will be on your book of deeds. For one day, 2 days, a week, no, forever. Forever. Yani, if you teach it to someone, and that one teaches it to his wife, and the wife teaches it to the children, and then the children teach it to their children, and so on and so forth, while you are buried in your grave, your deeds are being increased because of this recurrent charity, recurrent knowledge that you have left behind. If you really believe in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, then you'll become the ultimate da'iyah. You'll be going out like a lion amongst the people, trying to find any given opportunity to get the share of the rewards. You want the reward. If you want to go to Jannah, this is one of the ways you could do it. And so inshallah you will do that. But the hadith continues, and whoever calls people to misguidance shall have a sin equal to theirs, without their sin being reduced the least bit. Yeah, and you're practicing bid'ah, and then you propagate your bid'ah to the people. This is a calamity. We've heard a brother from one of the youth over here who told me that another person told him, if you see someone smoking, don't tell him anything. Allah will make you smoke. Listen to this rationale. They set aside the hadith, whoever sees an evil, let him change it with his hand. If you see someone smoking, don't talk to him. Because if you do so, Allah will make you become a smoker. So you leave him alone. Now this individual may not pay attention to this statement, but if people were to accept that from him and act upon it, then all of the sins that are produced thereof will be on his book of sins. Because he is the initiator and the propagator of this falsehood and dalal, this misguidance. So that's why we should have knowledge, know what we're talking about before we address this particular issue, otherwise it may backfire. طيب. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه مسلم أيضا من دل على خير فله مثل أجر فاعله. Another hadith by Muslim, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever informs people or guides them to goodness, then he will have a reward equal to the one who does the actual action. So all these narrations, brothers in Islam, are being quoted in this particular incident so we may understand and strive to get involved in da'wah. You have a very fertile soil. This place where you're living, it's been made easy, alhamdulillah, to a very large extent for you to give da'wah freely. Because the society to some extent is still based on that. It's based on the da'wah. Now of course we're seeing a lot of changes now. We're seeing an age of changes where people are no longer as religiously committed as they used to be some years back. According to the brothers who lived here actually 10 years ago. We're quickly moving away from the adhering to the deen of Islam. And so at this time it becomes more crucial that you get involved in da'wah. Somebody has to grab the society together. Somebody has to keep the youth in check. Because if we lose the youth, we're gone. Because the older people, they're bound to expire. It's the youth. If they're not under understanding of the deen, if their example is 50 cents and Tupac and, you know, I don't know who else of these soccer, basketball, cricket, rappers, actors and so on and so forth, who's going to carry the deen? Who's going to give da'wah? Who's going to learn? Who's going to handle the business? The older people will go away. The youth are the ones that will remain. And so this is why we should invest into the youth in particular. Because these are the ones that will carry this deen. And these are the ones that deserve the most da'wah bi-idhnillah azza wa jalla. Just look around you. Soccer. Everywhere. Even the masjid turned out to a soccer game. And a soccer field. Now, even here. Ya Habibi. See, if the parents don't do the job, you know, you can't do anything. You talk. People have no respect nowadays because the parents are been sleeping for some time. Allahum musta'an. Ala kulli hal. So, but inshallah we will be different. Huh? We will be different inshallah. We will wake up, you know, we will not be on this particular sick methodology. Tayyib. رابعة الصبر على الأذى فيه. So then we should have knowledge. We should act upon the knowledge. We should invite people to this knowledge. And then we should be patient while enduring the harm that one may receive. See, because when you give da'wah, it's like a war. And the weaponry is not necessarily a Kalashnikov and a grenade and machine guns. The weaponry is people of deviance, people of innovation, disbelievers, stabbing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his honor, speaking against him, you know, criticizing the teachings of Islam, among the modern Muslims, those who oppose the pure teachings of Islam. So you really have a lot of people trying to go against that pure da'wah. And you must be patient. You can't give up. You can't give up. The Shaykh explains, الصبر حبس النفس على طاعة الله وحبسها عن معصية الله. What does patience mean? It means to confine yourself, imprison yourself, like a prison, in order to obey Allah. And you imprison yourself against disobeying Allah. And thirdly, وحبسها عن التسخط من أقدار الله. Then thirdly, you imprison yourself concerning what Allah had decreed. Death of loved ones, loss of money, loss of property, loss of a job, calamities falling, you know, befalling us, anything of this nature. You also have to be patient concerning the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal.
فيحبس النفس عن التسخط والتضجر والملل. So whenever you are afflicted with a calamity, you restrain yourself from becoming dissatisfied with Allah's decree or saying something that is not befitting, something along these lines. Rather, you bear with perseverance, with patience, and you look forward to the relief that shall come from Allah Azza wa Jal, as He promised in the Quran, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Now the scholars say, this is a very interesting teaching in this ayat. Because notice the repetition. First it says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Then again, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Now, linguistically, and this is very technical, in the Arabic language, let me give you how this is understood in the English. You know, we have the article the. If I say to Ibrahim, give me a book, or give me a notebook, that could be any notebook, right? He could give me any notebook because I didn't specify. If I said, give me the notebook, meaning me and him understand that we're speaking about a particular book because of the article the. The elephant, meaning a special elephant. An elephant, it's any elephant. In the English language, this is similar to alif lam, which comes before the sum of the words. So you say, madrasa, al-madrasa. Madrasa, school, al-madrasa, this school. So this specifies something. And in the same understanding, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. So this is one specific usr, specific difficulty. Yusra. Yusra came without the alif lam, general. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when explaining, he said, two usr, because it says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَ. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ. Both time usr, he said, two usr can never beat Yusra. Yusra is open, general. It wasn't confined with alif. It doesn't end up anna ma'al usri al-yusr. No, Yusra. So then they understood from these ayat that the difficulty will be little, but the relief shall be abundant. So you don't despair. You know, don't despair, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. ويكون دائما نشيطا في الدعوة إلى دين الله وإن أوذي لأن أذية الداعين إلى الخير من طبيعة البشر إلا من هدى الله. So you should always be, you know, energetic while calling people to the deen of Allah, even if you are harmed, because the du'at, those involved in da'wah, them being harmed while they call people to goodness is something that is normal. It's part of the nature of the human beings, except those whom Allah guided. قال الله تعالى لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم ولقد كذبت رسل من قبلك فصبروا على ما كذبوا وأوذوا حتى أتاهم نصرنا. Allah said to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, interpretation of the meaning in English, and certainly were messengers denied before you, but they were patient over the denial and they were harmed until our victory came to them. So messengers that came before the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, they were denied and then they were patient due to the harm that they received. Yahya, they cut off his head. He was killed. The children of Israel, Bani Israel, they were famous لِقَتْلِهِمْ الْأَنْبِيَاء. They used to kill the prophets. You imagine? In Surah Yasin, everybody knows Surah Yasin. What happened to the man at the end? They killed him as well. Huh? What? How does the ayah go? I'm not remembering right now. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي. He said, I wish my people know. The scholars say this is after they killed him. After they killed him and Allah forgave his sins. He said, I wish my people would only know what Allah had forgiven. Allah had forgiven me. Even that person was killed. Many messengers were killed. And this is the most, you know, foul. Of course, before that, there's harming. They were harmed with the speech. They were harmed physically. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, while he was constructing the ship, they used to come and make fun of him. They used to come and make fun of him. Say, what are you doing building a ship in the mountain area, man? There's no water over here. What are you going to do with this ship? They've never seen it before. They didn't know that Allah was going to drown all of them and the ship will be means of survival. But they used to make fun of him. They used to mock him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Nuh, Ibrahim, his people also did the same thing. They tried to burn him in the fire. And if you read the Quran, you will find that every messenger suffered. Ayyub, how long he suffered before relief came from Allah Azza wa Jal. Sulaiman and Dawood, both they were tested by Allah. Futinu, they were tested by Allah and they turned to Allah Azza wa Jal with more submission. So every Prophet and Messenger had his share. And Allah told the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same thing happened to the messengers before you. So they were patient. Meaning you'll be patient as well. And so when you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you have to also deal with the same thing he had to deal with. And you have to be patient as he was patient alayhi salatu wasalam. وكلما قويت الأذية قرب النصر وليس النصر مختصا بأن ينصر الإنسان في حياته ويرى أثر دعوته قد تحقق بل النصر يكون ولو بعد موته. And whenever the harm is increased, then you should expect victory. The more there's adhiya, the more the da'iyah is harmed, then the sooner the victory shall come bi-idhnillah azza wa jal. And victory is not confined that a person shall see it in his own life. That he sees the byproduct of his da'wah in his own life. It doesn't have to be the case. Maybe you speak, you talk, nobody listens in your time. But Allah decrees that some years later, something you wrote or something you said will reach a particular group of people that they will all accept it, adopt it, and live according to it. So it is not necessary that you see the results. Very often, you give da'wah, and it seems like you're giving da'wah to yourself. Right? You talk, you remind, you speak, and so on and so forth. But when you look around, looks like nothing's happening, man. It's just time that is being spent. But it doesn't have to be the case. It may come now, it may come later, it may come after you die. So the Shaykh said, قد تتحقق بل النصر يكون ولو بعد موته بأن يجعل الله في قلوب الخلق قبولا لما دعا إليه وأخذا به وتمسكا به. It could be after you pass away that Allah Azza wa Jal will place in the hearts of the servants acceptance to that which was conveyed by the da'iyah, and so they adhere to it and they act upon it. فإن هذا يعتبر نصرا لهذا الداعية وإن كان ميتا. This is considered to be a victory for that da'iyah, that propagator of Islam, even if he's dead. And you know, a classical example is that of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayh. As you said, mentioned, he died in prison. And you will think if somebody died in prison, it's not really good. But look what happened afterwards. During his time, he was appreciated by the majority, except some of the Sufis who went against him. But now, he is much more appreciated by the whole Muslim Ummah to a large extent, except a small minority who have some sort of hatred towards Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Otherwise, the majority acknowledge the virtue of this Imam and this scholar of Islam, whom Allah Azza wa Jal protected Islam from destruction during his time. He maintained this religion on his shoulders, physically and with his pen, with his writing, by explaining the deviance that resulted during his time from the philosophies that came about, and with his body, by helping the Muslims engage in jihad against the Tatar, who were coming to exterminate Muslims. And Allah gave him victory. Allah gave Shaykh al-Islam and the Muslims victory over them, and the honor and dignity of Muslims was restored by the grace of Allah and afterwards through the effort of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayh. So you don't have to see it in front of you, it could be after you die. فعلى الداعية أن يكون صابرا على دعوته مستمرا فيها صابرا على ما يدعو إليه من دين الله عز وجل. So it is incumbent upon the da'iyah to be patient in his da'wah and to be persistent in doing it as well. And you be patient concerning everything that you call the people to in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. صَابِرًا عَلَى مَا يَعْطَرِدُ دَعْوَةً. Patient concerning anything which opposes or contradicts your da'wah. صَابِرًا عَلَى مَا يَعْطَرِدُهُ هُوَ مِنَ الْأَذَى. Patient concerning what harm touches you physically yourself as well. وهاهم الرسل صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم أوذوا بالقول وبالفعل. And these are the messengers of Allah, the messengers of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were harmed in the statement and in action. قال الله تعالى كذلك ما أتى الذين من قبلهم من رسول إلا قالوا ساحر أو مجنون. Allah says interpretation of the meaning in English. Similarly, there came not to them before them a messenger except that they said he's a magician or a madman. The most sound of intellectual people were the messengers. Allah chose them because of their knowledge, their intellect, their good qualities. And the disbelievers said, not only they refused. You know, it's one thing to say, look, I don't want to take your da'wah. You give me da'wah, I say, I don't want it. That's one thing. It's another thing to say, you're crazy. You're a magician. Don't give me da'wah anymore. Huh? The first one, يعني, you don't like it, طيب. But they turned around and called, and they knew them. You know, like the story of Abdullah. Abdullah, he was a Jew, right? And he decided to embrace Islam with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he went to the Messenger of Allah and he told them, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I want to embrace Islam. But before I do so, I want you to speak to my tribe, the Jews, my people, and ask them about me." So, and he was hiding. So the Prophet ﷺ went to them. He said, "What do you say about this man, Abdullah?" He said, "Oh Abdullah, mashallah, Abdullah, he is the best of us, the son of best of us, the most knowledgeable of us, the son of the most knowledgeable of us, the wisest of us." Yani, they praised him beyond anything. He's the best thing in the world. Now, he's our man, he's our representative. And then he came out and he said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah." They said, "He is the worst of us, the son of the worst of us, the most ignorant of us, the son of the most ignorant of us," and he became nothing. Alatul. He went from being the best to being the worst simply because he embraced Islam. Simply because he embraced Islam. And so, you know, people come up with nonsense. Crazy, madman, extremist. Nowadays, what we have, as they say, is fundamentalist. You know, this brother giving da'wah in the masjid, he's saying that you shouldn't, you know, do this. Be careful, man. It's extreme Muslims, dangerous to the Muslims. They trying to make you adhere to the sunnah in the ultimate sense. Be careful, man. There must be some lenience in the deen. Ad-deenu yusur. So they come with all kinds of nonsense. Subhanallah al-azim. So now the da'ya becomes attacked. When he tries to tell the people to keep the deen of Allah as it was revealed, they say he's an extremist, fundamentalist. He doesn't love the Messenger of Allah. You don't celebrate the Mawlid al-Nabawi, you don't love the Messenger of Allah. Subhanallah. How could that be? Because I'm not innovating into his deen anything. I don't love him. You find that those who celebrate the Mawlid, they accuse those who don't celebrate the Mawlid as those who don't love the Messenger of Allah. You don't really love him. Although the reality is, it's the other way around. Had you loved him, you would have resembled him, number one. Number two, you would have kept his sunnah. You wouldn't go beyond that. But it's the other way around. They don't love him. And these Mawlid al-Nabawi, and you know, back in your country, I know back in my country, it's a party, man. It's a festival. Men and women mix. Huh? Sometimes women singers come on stage, singing to the crowd of mixed people. Don't ask about the musical instruments, piano, guitar, you know, you have a whole thing. Food is being distributed, bakhur, people drunk, you know, and just saying nasheed, you know, praising the Prophet ﷺ as if he's Allah Azza wa Jal. That's the Mawlid al-Nabawi. And if you were to look at them, you would not even know that they're from the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. They have nothing to do with it. But they say, this is love. This is our manifestation of love. You come and say, this is a bid'ah, say he's an extremist. Be careful of this man. Don't listen to his da'wah. As soon as the brother sits here, leave the masjid. Go outside. Keep your ways, keep your methodology. Don't listen to those who teach the tawheed. Don't listen to those who teach the sunnah. These are fundamentalists. And so, you know, this is how a da'iyah is being harmed. And Allah knows that this da'iyah is dying for the people to receive the message. He wants them to be saved from the hellfire. But, you know, there's nothing you can do. So not only you get ignored, but you also get attacked. But you should be patient, because Allah Azza wa Jal had mentioned that whenever a messenger came, they called him a magician and a madman. وقال عز وجل وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا من المجرمين. Allah says interpretation of the meaning in English, and thus we have made for every prophet an enemy from among the criminals. It's the sunnah of Allah. Sunnah means the way. The way of Allah Azza wa Jal is that every prophet will have criminals that will go against him and that will oppose him. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. ولكن على الداعية أن يقابل ذلك بالصبر وانظر إلى قول الله عز وجل لرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنا نحن نزلنا عليك القرآن تنزيلا. The Shaykh said, and the da'ya must return, respond to all of that which was mentioned with patience. Look at the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal addressing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told him interpretation of the meaning in English, indeed it is we who have sent down to you the Quran progressively. It was a process. It wasn't sent down as one book. It was received and revealed over the period of how many years, dear brothers? Huh? How many years it took for the Quran to be revealed? 23 years it took for the Quran to be revealed. That's a long time. 23 years, that's somebody's lifespan. But the Quran was being revealed according to the need of the Muslims. And this is from the wisdom and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Had it come down as one chunk, people may not be able to fulfill everything that was commanded. But it was a process where the Muslims, their Iman, the Sahaba, they were growing. Their Iman was growing until they reached a point of maturity. So they were able to embrace the deen in totality and fulfill everything that was expected of them. كان من المنتظر أن يقال فاشكر نعمة ربك ولكنه عز وجل قال فاصبر لحكم ربك. The Shaykh said, now after this ayah, you would expect that Allah Azza wa Jal may say, so be thankful concerning the bounty of your Lord. The fact that He gave you the Quran, that He gave you the Quran progressively, you should be thankful to Allah. But what does the next ayah say? Be patient concerning the decision of your Lord. The interpretation of the meaning. Be patient concerning the decision of your Lord. وفي هذا إشارة إلى أن كل من قام بهذا القرآن فلا بد أن يناله مما يحتاج إلى الصبر. ما يناله مما يحتاج إلى صبر. This is an indication that whoever tries to live up to this Quran and teach the people so, then he shall receive a portion of that, which will require him to be patient as well. فاصبر لحكم ربك. وانظر إلى حال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حين ضربه قومه فأدموه وهو يمسح الدم عن وجهه ويقول اللهم اغفر لقومي فإنهم لا يعلمون. And look at the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when his own people beat him until he started to bleed عليه الصلاة والسلام, and he was wiping the blood of his face and saying, oh Allah, forgive my people, verily they do not know. This was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They beat him, they made him bleed. He said, oh Allah, forgive them. They don't know. They don't know any better. فَعَلَى الدَّاعِيَ أَنْ يَكُونَ صَابِرًا مُحْتَسِبًا. So it's upon the da'iyah to be patient. محتسب, يحتسب, you hear this often. مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. احتساب is to seek and have faith that Allah will reward you. To have certainty in the promise of Allah that He will fulfill it. So if Allah promised you that He will reward you to a particular act of worship, then al-ihtisab is that you believe that. And you endure patience because you are looking forward to the payback from Allah Azza wa Jal. طيب. والصبر ثلاثة أقسام. And everybody should know this now. Patience is three kinds. الصبر على طاعة الله والصبر عن معصية الله والصبر عن والصبر على أقدار الله المؤلمة. The first one is being patient in obeying Allah, establishing the salah. You have to have patience to get up on time for Fajr. If you don't have patience to wake up for Fajr, you will never wake up. I mean, it's time of rest for you to get out of your comfortable bed, warm bed. It's warm, actually, we want it to be cool because it's warm outside. Your cool bed, which may have an air conditioner in there or a fan, and then to get up into the bathroom and handle your business, and then you go wudu, you know, make wudu, and then you walk to the masjid, you come to the masjid. If you don't have patience, say, let me just go to sleep, man. This is too much for me. What? You need patience to get up and go through all this. Now, you know what's unfortunate? You want to hear something very sad? In another country, without mentioning the name, a land of disbelief, you know who you will find on the street around 4 in the morning? Who can guess? Guess who you will find on the street 4 in the morning, Fajr time? No, not the cleaners, this is their job. He's coming back from a party, it doesn't even count. I'll tell you, because this may go forever. People who have dogs, they take the dog out at 4 in the morning and they have a plastic bag in their hand. So the dog may relieve himself. The dog may relieve himself, defecate. And then they clean the feces with their own hands, because they try to keep the environment clean. So here now, you know, now a person eats a big, then he opens the window, throws a whole box of big out of the window. What is this, man? This is not from the Muslim. You don't throw things, it's not a trash. This is not a trash outside. It's a street, you keep it clean. That's why they have dumpsters. Now, in a land of disbelief, if you were to throw a cigarette butt or a piece of paper on the floor, you will pay a ticket 3,750 riyals. If you're caught by the police throwing a bag, anything, at the window, walking in the street, which is called littering, you will get a ticket for 3,750 riyals. But here, the Muslims who are supposed to have this character, nothing. Then, a person waking up 4 in the morning for his dog to relieve himself. So they may clean after the dog, the nastiest thing in the world, and go back home to sleep so they can go to work. So they can make it to work sharp, 8 in the morning. Is it befitting that a kafir will wake up at 4 in the morning so his dog can relieve himself while the Muslim is going to sleep during Fajr time? I hope this will remind some of us about this negligence. Salatul Fajr. The hypocrite, according to the Prophet ﷺ, is the one who misses Fajr. Hypocrite. This is a very dangerous title that you carry in your life. Do you want to die as a munafiq? Wal-iyadu billah. It's dangerous. So brothers need to understand this. Fajr is not a joke, man. This is more important than any flight. And any one of us, if you had a flight in the morning, you will not sleep. When was the last time somebody missed a flight because they slept in? Never. They have the alarm set. He calls his friend, listen man, call me 4 in the morning. He has his wife, his children, the neighbors, everybody gets involved. Because you cannot afford to miss a flight. But Salat al-Fajr, mushkila. I'll make it up tomorrow. I'll make it up at this. All this is all diseases that we have. I know it may be funny, but it's not really supposed to be very funny. It's supposed to be sad. I want you to enjoy the laughter, but feel sad as well. That this is the condition of the Muslims. And so when we see the kuffar taking the doggy out, so he may clean and relieve himself at 4 in the morning, while the Muslims are sleeping, that's not good. That makes a Muslim sad. That makes a da'iyah very sad. So you have to be patient to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. Second kind of patience, sabr an maharim Allah. You have to be patient in order not to disobey Allah. Allah's limitations and prohibitions. And so, you know, this lady that is foreign to you, she's a stranger, and the shaitan is whispering some nonsense to you. Maybe you started chatting, you know, the teenagers, I know they got a lot of Yahoo and MSN and Gmail chat, and every kind of chat in the world. And you know, this is a very big door. You may start out with something good and wind up in Jahannam because of some chat that you may undertake. Some women may come along the lines, you know. And if you don't have enough patience to say, you know, A'udhu Billah, as Yusuf did, Ma'adh Allah, Qala Ma'adh Allah, I seek refuge with Allah. Innahu Rabbi Akrama Mathwai, this is my Lord, He had honored my position. So you will not ruin that, you will fall into the trap. And one thing will lead to another, and you know what I'm saying. So you have to have patience to avoid the prohibitions. Stay away from what Allah had made forbidden. For the elders, we have many other examples that are applicable to us. And you know, each one of us knows what areas we are violating Allah's limitations, what areas we are disregarding Allah's rights and continuing to disobey Allah concerning something that He had made forbidden upon us, because we don't have enough patience to maintain worship and obedience to Allah. The third, صَبْرٌ عَلَىٰ أَقْدَارِ اللَّهِ الَّتِي يُجْرِيهَا إِمَّا مِمَّا لَا كَسْبَ لِلْعِبَادِ فِيهِ وَأَمَّا مِمَّا يُجْرِيهِ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ أَيْدِي بَعْضِ الْعِبَادِ مِنَ الْإِذَاءِ وَالْإِعْتِدَاءِ. Thirdly, be impatient regarding Allah's decree. Either that which Allah does afflicts the servant with without interference of anyone, like an earthquake, tsunami, something along flood, you know, your house falls apart, anything of this nature. This is the first kind of patience, is from the decree of Allah. And the second one is that which takes place because of someone else harming you, because of other human beings. So the Muslims are attacked in, you know, Afghanistan, Muslims are being attacked in Palestine, in Iraq, in a number of countries. You know, our Muslim brothers are suffering. Now this is, they have to be patient because Allah decreed that that should happen to them. And this is taking place through the actions of other human beings. So then the decree of Allah is either something that is direct from Allah without the interference of the creation, meaning the human beings, and the other kind is that which comes from other human beings. Sometimes it's your own family who will be harming you. And concerning all of that, we have a dalil from the Quran, which we will postpone inshallah ta'ala until next week, because the time is running quick and I don't want you to go home too late and then not wake up for Fajr and then blame it on me. So it's you who are talking too much, so that's why I didn't come for Salah. So no excuse inshallah. Next week, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, we'll be dealing with Surah Al-Asr, a very fundamental chapter in the Book of Allah, which each one of us should know the everything concerning that surah, because it's a foundation of da'wah to some extent. So jazakumullah khairan for your patience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah.